But there were different times in my life I can think of where I was at different energies. And when I think about energies, I think about a radio, like radio stations, yeah. FM radio. So you think about different frequencies on a radio station. I was taught through many different energy practitioners that I visited that what is happening on the inside is being reflected to you on the outside.
Yeah.
And it took me a long time to believe that, to be quite honest. I thought that was bananas. But what three things I do that really help me shift my energy. But what I have learned is that I believe the whole reason we are on the planet is to learn how to allow that soul energy.
Olá a todos, meu nome é Mafalda e este é o podcast Superas. Aqui vou falar de saúde, seja comida, exercício físico, sono ou tudo o que te possa ajudar a ser a tua versão super. O objetivo da Superas é conseguir criar uma comunidade de outliers, pessoas fora do normal, pessoas que querem que estar constantemente a melhorar e que não se contentem com estar bem, mas querem estar ótimas, pessoas que não têm medo de lutar pelos objetivos e pessoas que querem ser super. Hello, my name is Mafalda Lima. I'm a health and performance coach. Welcome to Superas podcast. Today we have the pleasure of having with us JJ DiGeronimo. She's a light worker. She's a woman in business expert and author of books like Seeking 74 Key Findings to Raise Your Energy, Sidesteps Your Self-Doubts and Align with Your Life's Work. Also the author of Accelerate Your Impact, Action-Based Strategy to Pave Your Professional Path, and also the author of The Working Woman GPS. Welcome, JJ. It's a pleasure having with you with us today.
Thank you. I'm so honored to be with you.
Thank you. I think it will be a nice way to start to maybe share a little bit about your transition between a woman in tech and becoming the author and the light working that you work today.
Well, I'll say that I really did love my career in tech. I was in tech for over 20 years. I made my way out to Silicon Valley after about 3 years being in tech, and I spent most of my career in Silicon Valley, and I loved it. But I had an inner turmoil that got louder and louder and louder, and I was really trying to figure it out because I was on my path as I had laid out for myself of getting that senior position. But I just didn't feel like that was it for me. I started a women's group in 2008 called Tech Savvy Women, which you can still find on LinkedIn today. And I brought those women together because I had just had my little kids. I had two little kids under three. I had a job in California. I lived in Ohio and I was losing my marbles. I thought it was so hard to have it all. And I started getting together with women so that they could help me sort of maneuver the professional landscape when you're not getting a lot of sleep, you're doubting yourself, and you still have big aspirations. And that really was the basis for my first book, The Working Woman's GPS. And it's really geared for women that are in the workplace that have young kids because you lose yourself in all your yeses. And so that was really the beginning of me sharing information. And let me tell you, I never thought I would write a book, but the content was so good that I was writing it down for my daughter. And then things kind of kept happening where I then was asked to, you know, share a little bit of it and then write a chapter and then share it. And before I knew it, I was writing a book. And I was writing this book from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. a couple times a week. So I had my very full-time job, I had my little kids, and then I was carving out time late at night. And even then I didn't think like, oh, I'm gonna leave my job and do this. I stayed in my job for another 4 years. And I just really just kept working. I didn't market my book too much because I didn't want my employer to think I wasn't taking my job seriously. But every time I went to a conference or someone invited me to speak about my book, which they just kind of heard through the grapevine, women would say, you know, how do you get promoted? How do you get on a board? You know, what if I don't have the right manager? Or what if, you know, I've been promised to be promoted and I haven't? And so I started logging all these questions. And I had about 2,000 questions that women asked me. And I researched for 3 years off the side of my desk, like I still had my day job. But at the same time, I was still like, I had a lot of inner turmoil. And so for my 40th birthday, which was back in 2013, I booked a solo trip to Sedona, which is known for spiritual seekers, light workers, mediums, and I booked a retreat out there with Soul Adventure that set up an agenda for me to meet with different practitioners. And my sole goal for going there was to try to understand why I was so unsettled and, you know, why was I being pulled to leave my job and go work with women in business? And so I went there talking to different practitioners, being like, am I crazy? Is this my life's work? What am I supposed to be doing? And so that kind of all manifested in from 2008 to 2013.
Yeah. It's amazing because sometimes we already have the intuition that something needs to change, but then we say, okay, maybe it's just we are misinterpreting something, or maybe it's just we are not, we are afraid of listening our intuition. But then it's too many signs to misregard all this. So you at a certain point, you need to take action and listen all the signs that you received during these years.
It's the truth. And even when somebody, like, even though I had gone there and they said, okay, one of the practitioners said, you know, your work is going to unfold in a way that you are going to bring people closer to God. And I sat there in complete disbelief because I was like, well, I work in corporate America and I can't even think about God, let alone speak it. So that's never going to happen. And, you know, you fast forward a decade and I'm hosting these retreats at this place that is so spiritual that I do believe God is there and the healing of the land is there too. And it's so powerful. And I just think sometimes you can't understand what is in store for you, but what you can do is lean into what is calling you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true, because sometimes it's not easy to understand what we need to do, but it just follow some of the signs. And then we will, with time, we will understand, okay, what are all of these signs and all of this path taking us, like you were saying.
Yes. And, you know, I never had plans to write a second book, none, but I started building a talk on how women could advance in the workplace. And I kept giving the talk and adding to it and all this stuff. And my girlfriend and I took a bike trip in 2015 in France. We did a 3-day bike trip, 8 hours a day. And you're on the bike a long time by yourself. And I wrote the book on the bike. Like, I figured out the chapters, what I was going to say. I took all my research with all those questions. And I wrote my second book, Accelerate Your Impact, Action-Based Strategies to Pave Your Professional Path. And that only took me like 4 months because I had already been talking and doing it. And I was not going to write about it, because if anybody's out there has been an author, it's a lot of steps. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of work. But the universe was like, you are writing this book.
Yeah. You talk briefly about the two books, the two first books that you wrote. The third one, the Seeker, one of the subjects that you talk on this third book, and is something that as I was reading the book, it really interested me. It was the energy and the frequency and how this impacts our lives. Can you introduce a little bit the concept of energy and frequency and why this is important to our daily lives and our personal growth?
Oh my goodness. Well, I will say that I didn't realize it either. I really didn't. But there were different times in my life I can think of where I was at different energies. And when I think about energies, I think about a radio, like radio stations, yeah. FM radio. So you think about different frequencies on a radio station. I was taught through many different energy practitioners that I visited that what is happening on the inside is being reflected to you on the outside.
Yeah.
And it took me a long time to believe that, to be quite honest. I thought that was bananas. But what I have learned from 2016 to now, because I've been meeting with so many energy practitioners, I've been cleaning out my vessel because I got a lot of the accolades, I got a lot of the awards, I got a lot of the opportunities I thought I wanted to receive, but it wasn't giving me this inner joy. Yeah. I was sad a lot, and I was overworked, and I wasn't in the present moment. And I just was like so busy being out there of where I was going, I wasn't like really locked into being right here. And I had to learn how to do that. And I was highly encouraged multiple times to go to mindfulness training. And I thought that was ridiculous. Like, who goes to mindfulness training? Like, I'm a high powered executive that does all this work. Like, I don't have time to sit on a hill and do mindfulness. So I was a stubborn student, stubborn. But after weeks and weeks of going, I finally realized with the help of my teacher that I can't be taking notes. I can't be planning my grocery list. I can't be writing stuff. I need to really just be in the present moment. And that took me a while to learn. But once I learned how to be in the present moment, because I think society sets us up to not be in the present moment. But once I'm in the present moment, then I can see where my energy's at. Because not only can I see and feel how I feel, I can see what's coming at me. I can see the conversations. I can see the people. I can see the opportunities. And if you are in a part of your life that you're not really happy with, you don't like what's happening around you, maybe you don't like the job that you're in or the relationship that you're in, the only thing you can change is your energy and how you view where you are in your life. And if you want the outside to shift, you have to shift the inside. And that really comes down to energy.
Yeah, I love this because it's like it's changing the, let's say, the perception of what happens to us. And with this, we are like, let's say, changing our energy. Because if we change the perception how we see things, we can change our energy. And then as we change inside, our energy inside, we are able to change the outside, let's say.
Yeah, there's three things I do that really help me shift my energy. So the easiest one, I think, is to pay attention to what you're paying attention to. What are you reading? What are you watching? What are you listening to? Because if you're listening to things that scare you or things that are brutal or things that harm other people, you're going to engulf that energy. And so I really think of my phone as an education device. Like, I listen to books on my phone. I watch YouTube videos on my phone, and they're all positive. They're all highly energetic. They're all about really living the best life and being in the best energy. And so paying attention to what you pay attention to is number one.
Yeah, it's like the environment, let's say, our environment.
Yes. Yes. And I've had to stop watching the news because it's just too much. It's too much. I can't process all that energy. I mean, I'll watch different pieces I want to see online, but I won't watch a whole news because I'm so susceptible to like the fear. It like induces so much fear in me, and I can't have that fear in my work. Yeah. So that's the first one. The second one is pay attention to who you have conversations with.
Yeah, one subject that you talk on the book, and it was something that I also wanted to talk. It was what you call the sphere of influence.
Yes, the sphere of influencers. Yes. And it's people that are influencing you every day. And it could be somebody at your job. It could be a family member. It could be people you have on your speed dial, like who are your quick calls. And like, how do you feel when you start the conversation? And how do you feel when you leave the conversation? Is your energy at a good level? Do you raise it up or does it plummet your energy? Because a lot of people talk to people they've been talking to for decades. And when they start to kind of pay attention to how they feel after the conversation, many people have people that drag them down. Yep. And I will say, you know, I talk a lot about like, what you attract is where you're at.
Where you attract is where you are at. Okay.
What you attract is where you are at. So if you're attracting a 79.9 radio station, it's going to be different people than if you're attracting a 91.7. Yeah. So you have to shift how you feel on the inside if you want to shift what's happening on the outside. You have to raise your frequency, raise your energy. So that's number two. So it's, what are you paying attention to? Who are you communicating with? And the third is, how are you talking to yourself? How are you talking to yourself? And that is one of the pieces I did not recognize until I was in mindfulness class, because mindfulness gives you the ability to pay attention to your thoughts. It's like you almost have the ability to see your thoughts come across on a conveyor belt, and you are an observer of your thoughts. And I was shocked how much I beat myself up all the time.
The self-talk.
Yeah, the self-talk, the self-doubt, the imposter syndrome. You know, all of those things were going on all the time for me, and I was paying attention to every single one of them. And so I had to find ways to focus on gratitude. And like gratitude for everything, gratitude for having this computer, having the technology to talk with you, gas in my car, money for groceries, you know, you name it. I really have focused on having gratitude, because what I have learned is that the universe is not going to open up opportunities for you or bring you new opportunities if you're not grateful for where you are right now.
Yeah, and even if the point is, sometimes it's the universe is not giving us opportunities, sometimes it's not, is we cannot see the opportunities because we are not looking, we are just looking to the bad stuff that we have, and we are not able to be grateful and look to the this universe opportunities, because we are just focusing on the bad stuff.
Yes, very much so. And I think for many of us, we have to train ourselves to find beauty, find good in whatever we're going through. And what I often say is, if I'm in a situation I don't like, or if I'm having an experience that's not great, I say, what is the lesson? What is the lesson? What is the lesson? What is the lesson? Because as soon as I take myself out of that victimhood mindset, like, I can't believe this has happened to me. Why would they say that? You know, I can't, it's like, what is the lesson? Okay. I was just talking to a woman this morning, and she was saying every guy that she meets can't pay for things, can't get a ride to meet her for a date. And I'm like, well, what's the lesson? And we went on and on and on back and forth. And finally we got to the point, and she doesn't value herself enough to have somebody invest in her.
Yep.
So like having to like really dig deep to be like, why am I in this situation? Why am I going through this experience? What is it about me that I feel like I deserve this? Because whatever you're going through, unfortunately, it is a stepping stone. Like, I don't believe too much on like just happenstance. I feel like things happen for a reason. And like, as soon as you can kind of say, okay, why is this happening? And this is mostly as an adult. I mean, as children, it's very challenging for me to believe that, because they're subject to the people around them. But once you get past the age of 25, you really can be asking like, why am I in this situation? And many of it stems from, as I talk about in the book, Seeking, things that happened decades ago.
Yeah, that you are still on the, let's say, still on the same frequency as you were some decades ago. And this is influencing our perception of the world today and our actions that we do today, let's say.
That's exactly right. And so I find that the work that I've had to do on the inside has really helped me shift my outside. And the people I get to talk to, like you, the conversations, the invites, they're so magical now. But I've done a lot of heavy lifting on cleaning out stories that are no longer serving me, diving into relationships that, you know, I've been in my life for a long time, but really were dragging me down. And I've had to really kind of work through some of my circumstances to understand why I was in them and how they served me, either as a lesson, a friendship, an opportunity. And I find that the more I work on raising my energy through the three things I mentioned, the easier it is for me to rise above situations that are no longer serving me.
Mm-hmm. Queria fazer uma pausa neste vídeo para te falar do meu programa Super, o meu programa de Health and Performance Coach. São 6 sessões individuais ao longo de 10 semanas. Vamos definir quem tu queres ser, quais os teus objetivos e o que é que tens que fazer para lá chegar. Vamos perceber como é que podes melhorar o teu bem-estar físico, mental, emocional e espiritual para alcançares a tua melhor versão. Se tiveres alguma dúvida, podes consultar superus.pt/produtos. Podes ainda enviar e-mail para mafala.superus@gmail.com ou então enviar uma mensagem para as redes sociais.
These three things that you just mentioned, what we see with who we are and how we talk with ourselves, let's say where we should look to see in what ways we should improve. But what are the, let's say, practical strategies that people can start using to, let's say, take actions to either change what they need to see or to understand if the people with who they are improving their energy or making their energy worse, what are the practical strategies that people can do?
Yeah, I love that. So I think the hardest thing to do is monitor your thoughts. So if you can take a mindfulness class, download a meditation app, do free meditation on YouTube. I mean, there's a lot of free resources that you can just start. And I would say that meditation, I used to think meditation was just sitting and being quiet, but my mind could still like work things out. I would say meditation is more of an observation of what's happening outside your body and an observation of what's happening inside your body. And so that's how mindfulness helped me, is it helped me with the tools to be an observer of my thoughts, be an observer of nature, be an observer of what's crossing my path.
So is if I understood correctly, is more to understand in which frequency we are, and then we have strategies to change the frequency. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. And even if you don't know where you're on frequency, don't worry about it. Just pay attention to how you talk to yourself, how you talk about others, how you feel about situations. Like say you're going through a fast food or a restaurant situation and you don't get the right food. Yeah. Are you just blowing up in your head like, oh, this is horrible, I can't believe this happened, da da da? Like my father, every time he goes to a restaurant, he has a bad experience because he's a jerk at restaurants. You know, he's like so demanding. He has such high expectations. He always thinks he's going to get the wrong meal. And guess what? He does.
It's a law of attraction.
So I really think just paying attention to what your expectations are, what conversations you're having, whether you're saying them or not, and like what's happening in your thoughts. And I think just being an observer, and eventually if you keep practicing, you'll start to see that it will be like a conveyor belt of thoughts. You're never going to get rid of your negative thoughts or, you know, your negativity about yourself. Like that is always going to be there, but you get to decide whether or not you want to pull it off the conveyor belt and use it.
And can you share any personal or personal story or with someone that you work with, just giving an example, what could be the impact of adjusting this energy and what could be the improvement in terms of positive change?
Oh, sure. I definitely have a few of those, right? So I used to have a boss that used to like give me stuff to do all the time, and I would work on it. And I'd hand it back to him. And sometimes I'd hear about it and sometimes I wouldn't. And I realized like that he would give me so many things that some of the things like weren't relevant anymore. And so I started keeping a list of everything he asked me to do, how much time it took, you know, who else had to be involved. And then when he'd come and give me more things to do, I would say, okay, how can we shift around this list? Because I was working 24/7, you know, all the time trying to get these things done, and not everything would come to fruition. So one of the ways that I kind of helped a relationship situation is to document like what are the projects we're working on. And if we take on a new project, how do we take one off or move it down? And that was like a self-love exercise because I was getting to a point where I was working way too much and I was burning myself out. I wasn't working out. I wasn't doing anything because I was always working. And I was just like feeling so frustrated that I had to figure out a strategy to lessen my load, but still have a good impact. And so creating a list that I could monitor with him and let him have to decide how to move things down instead of making everything the priority. So I think that was a self-love exercise for me, is having enough inner strength to suggest that when he gave me a new thing, that we'd have to push something down, that not everything had the same priority.
Yeah, good. And coming back to what we talked before, the sphere of influence, because I think sometimes it's of course that we have the friends and we have family, and sometimes it's first we need to understand if the people around us are pushing our frequency upwards or downwards. But sometimes it could be hard to understand what we can do if we are talking about family, because it's we don't have so much control on it. How can we first identify what is the impact of the people around us in our energy, and also what can people do to try to manage, let's say, and to improve the impact on people in our energy?
So you can just create a really simple chart with three columns, right? So put the person's name, you can put the first column, and there's just plus or minus, like when I start the conversation, do I have good positive energy, negative energy, or I don't know. And then the third column could be like, how do I feel after I have a conversation with them? And some people might be really strong, like takes all my energy. They call it vampires, energy vampires, and other people totally lift you up. And oftentimes you can make small shifts in yourself, which will change the outcome. So having gratitude before you go into the meeting or into the conversation, visualizing, like, well, I visualize sometimes just white light coming from God down into the room we're talking in and filling the whole room with love.
Amazing.
Before I even start the conversation. Yeah. So I do that for sure. And then sometimes when I get in a room, I'll like feel my heart, send love to their heart, send love to their heart. And I feel like when I do any of those things, it seems to always go better than I expected.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good because sometimes we cannot change exactly the people around us. But if we start the interaction in a better way, like you were saying, with either sending them love, this will maybe change our perception during the interaction. This starting the conversation, not already with the expectations that this will go wrong for any reason, but already starting the conversation in a better way using the techniques that you said, that this will probably influence our perception for the better, let's say. Yes. Yeah. And another thing that you talk on the book that really interesting was the difference between soul energy and ego energy. Can you explain a little bit these two concepts and how they are related?
So for me, I'm very visual. So I like to just like kind of think about our bodies, right? And when you think about the day you were born, I think about this beautiful light called your soul coming into your body. It could happen in the womb. It could happen the day you're born, whatever you believe in. But there's this beautiful white light that is part of a bigger energy. It's a universal energy, a pure white light full of love, connectiveness, and just a beautiful, beautiful energy. And that's what makes us turn our eyes on. Like when we open our eyes, that is our soul's energy. And when we come into the body is a protective mechanism of this soul. And the body has the energy of the ego. And the energy of the ego, the sole purpose is to protect us.
Yeah.
But sometimes it goes overboard. And when you are watching a lot of scary movies or scary news updates, or you live in a part of the world that you're just scared all the time, that ego is in overdrive. And even if you don't live in like a tough area, you might be consumed with so much energy that you're constantly in protection mechanism. And through the work that I've done, the spiritual energetic work that I've done to really clean my vessel out, be a light source for others, help them illuminate their path, I've realized that the energy of my ego often takes the driver's seat. And it makes me, especially as I'm planning things out in the future, it gives me, you know, worry, anxiety, makes me fearful, gives me just like things I need to be thinking about. And it can also, you know, reflect back to what I've already done and give me like, you know, give me negativity or just analyzing things that I've already done and putting an energy to that. And it's hard to get your soul energy to peek out because your ego energy is so, so powerful. Mm-hmm. But what I have learned is that I believe the whole reason we are on the planet is to learn how to allow that soul energy, that love energy, that connection to one, the connection to all of us, shine brighter and be more vocal than the ego energy. And my book, Seeking, is really the steps that I took to raise my frequency, allow my soul energy to shine brighter and be louder so that I can hear the work I'm supposed to be doing on the planet and align with love and light in a way that I was never really taught before, but has really illuminated the work and the path ahead for me.
Yeah, amazing. And you were now saying that and connecting this soul energy and ego energy with what we are talking before, if we increase our energy, we will be working more with the soul energy rather than the ego energy.
Well, they're both always there. They're always there. And the ego always takes front and center. But if you practice the gratitude, if you work on raising your frequency, if you create space in your life to listen to the whispers, meaning that whispers that come deep down that seem like thoughts sometimes, but you're like, what does that mean? That is creating space for the soul energy to come through.
Yeah. I love this concept between the soul energy and ego energy, and what you were saying about we are, let's say, all connected, and somehow this, if we are working, of course, it is not that, at least my understanding is not the ego energy is not always bad, because the ego energy, this fear is also sometimes we need this to protect us, but we are... like you were said, sometimes we let the ego energy take the driver's seat and we are always only on this energy and we never go back to the soul energy. And finding this balance will be, and the balance doesn't mean that needs to be, I believe, 50-50. Could be, I don't know if it needs to be different from all the people, if everybody needs to have more soul energy, but at least not letting the ego energy be always on the driver's seat to be closer to our soul energy and to our life's work, that it's always also another thing that you also talk on your book. And what could be let's say good steps to understand if we are more in one energy or the other, and the first steps to let's say start embracing more our soul energy?
Yeah, so in the book I have this great chart that gives you kind of the breakdown of the soul energy and also the ego energy. And so I put in these great charts in here to really talk about, you know, when you are living in abundance, love, and gratitude, you know you're living from your soul's energy. If you're living in fear, doubt, and worry, you know you're living from the ego energy. And I think that you just have to check in and be like, am I afraid right now? Am I worried? Do I have anxiety? If the answers are yes, you need to just learn how to ground yourself and really just get in that present moment and start to practice gratitude. So I love the idea of having gratitude at the end of the day. But in reality, the thing that's worked for me is having gratitude every single minute, because when I have gratitude, I am moving more towards love, abundance, appreciation. And I think for me, that has been the gateway to really access my soul energy quickly.
Yeah, at least my point of view is that maybe we can start with a gratitude practice, but then this gratitude practice, it will turn in a gratitude mindset if we do it a lot of times, then it will change to a gratitude mindset. And one thing that I really enjoy on your book, it is really practical. You have along your book, you have a lot of questions and phrases for people to reflect. And on this part of the soul energy and ego energy, you have a table that it was this table that I thought you were going to talk that I really enjoy, but then you show another graph. One table that it's really practical to understand, okay, what are our thoughts? And then if this thought is anchored in fear or in love, and where did it come from, this thought, and what can we do if this appear? So I think it's really good, because it not only, of course, explain the importance of the soul energy and the ego energy, but also give practical tips in terms of, okay, how can we start being more aware of this, and what can we do if this and this and this happens, or if we think about all of these thoughts. So I think this is a really nice thing about your book, is not only the theoretical part, but also the practical steps. And that's why it's the 74 steps to increase.
Raise your energy. Sidestep your self-doubt and align with your life's work. And I think if you notice, I have a computer and then I have the work on the side of the desk, because most of us are doing this off the side of our desk. It's not our main thing, because we're, you know, having to survive and live in an apartment or a house or whatever, and we're trying to pay the bills. But many people find themselves seeking off the side of their desk when they realize that what they are driving for is no longer really serving them or making them feel good. Mm-hmm. And they know they need something else. And I think for many people, they don't know what to do. And, you know, if there's anything I can share, you know, this has been a decade and a half for me of seeking. And I've had to do a lot of learning about who I am, what I've held on to, and how those stories and events throughout my life, you know, going all the way back to grade school, have impacted my decisions and joy now. And I wish I had a book like this when I started, because I literally was chicken pecking, like, should I do this? Should I do this? And I've really encapsulated everything that I did that was monumental, that has shifted my energy. And I feel like had I not learned how to shift my energy, I would not be at the same frequency right now. And I definitely wouldn't be having these life experiences.
Yeah. Amazing. And do you want to share any more, any additional tips in terms of what could be the first steps, or the first or the second steps for people to increase their frequency and start embracing their soul energy?
Well, I just opened the book because I really think of it as almost like a deck of oracle cards. I just pop it open to the key finding, and it's funny because key finding number 37, there is abundance all around us. And I think that's a great place to start, is like just find the little big things in your life where there's abundance. And for me, you know, it could be the mailman coming that day because I was waiting for a letter. It could be being able to drink a hot cup of coffee. I mean, these, of course, people love and wait for big things to happen, but there's so many small things that happen all the time. Yeah. And Mother Nature is so beautiful. So even just watching the seasons of the trees around you, or I love when I see more than four birds together. I always think that's a sign of abundance. So I just like when I'm driving now, I'm always looking, like, look, what animals can I see and what's happening and what do the license plates say in front of me and what are the stickers on people's cars? I feel like I'm constantly an observer now, which I never had time for before, but it's made my life so much more joyful. Yeah.
And one thing that also helps me is on these chores that we need to do, that seems like a chore, that seems that we don't like to do that, try to, let's say, force yourself to find something good on that. For example, the thing that you said, while I'm driving, that most of the people think of driving like a waste of time. Okay, so then let's try to find a way that transform this in a more enjoyable thing. Or, I don't know, for people that don't like to exercise, okay, let's try to transform this in something that you enjoy. Try to find the, try to force ourselves to find something that we could be grateful because we can do, because we are doing that. Maybe before we didn't have cars, so we couldn't visit, I don't know, we couldn't visit our family, or we didn't have cars, we needed to walk, I don't know how many kilometers to go to work. So try to find the good things in these chores that we need to do. I think this is also an important thing that I try to do with myself for things that seem simple, but the things that we need to do, not the things that we want to do, but the ones that we need to do, that to make them more enjoyable.
I agree. And I feel like things come our way all the time. Lessons, messages, phone calls that I didn't really appreciate. I always thought I'd have to get through my to-do list every day. And one day, and this was probably just like 3 years ago, I finally realized that my work is in the conversations of the people that are reaching out to me. Like, yes, I have to get a PowerPoint deck done. And yes, I've got to get the paperwork done. And I would be so mad if I didn't get everything done in the day. And one day it just hit me that my life's work is more about helping others. And they come to me in phone calls, in emails. And, you know, if I have a great call, which I do almost every day, have somebody that calls me that we have this conversation, like that's my life's work. It's not sitting at this computer getting these things done, although I have to do that too. And so I used to sometimes multitask on calls, or I would be like rushing off a call to get back to my list. And now I go for a walk outside. I fold towels, like, cause I like to move my hands, cause I feel like I can bring information through me when I'm moving my hands. And I'm making a bed or whatever, because I'm just really being in the moment with the person and waiting for the messages to come through me to that person. And that's what I believe my work is now. And I still have a ton of to do today, but this conversation for me is like where I'm supposed to be. Yeah. And I really appreciate you inviting me.
Thank you. Then I would like to ask you as a last question, when can our listeners learn more about you and more about your projects?
Well, they can check out all the links below. And if you're interested in finding the books, check out the reviews. I would put Seeking and the number 74 in Google or whatever platform you search, and you'll see the book on Amazon or other book platforms. But check out the reviews. I think it's amazing how many people have read the book and have done something different because of it. And some people have left their job after 24 years. Some have gotten that yoga certification. And I think that it really is a transformational book. If you're at the point where you're like, what is this all for? This is a great book to kind of guide you on your path.
Yeah.